Well, thank you for the prayer and for the invitation to be back with you. And where'd Scott get off? There he is. Scott, thank you for leading our song a moment ago. Again, a pleasure to be here. It's hard to believe that 3 years and I think maybe 3 years and a month have passed since we were with you last. And as Wayne mentioned, my wife Shana was here before and back with us this time, and our youngest Connor. Connor is 17 and a junior at Stain Park High School outside of Birmingham. And then the other two, McKenna is our middle daughter. McKenna was with us as well last time, and she is a freshman at Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. She is a Spanish major there. And then the oldest girl, Hallie, I don't believe you've ever met. She is a senior at Freed Hardeman, and she's the one that's engaged to be married. And kind of took us by surprise a little bit. We won't drag that on. You don't want to hear about our family, but we love our families. You love your family. And as they get older, it's getting more difficult to travel together and be together when I go to gospel meetings, Wayne. But we're delighted that Shana and Connor could be with us. And they've got to leave tomorrow afternoon. I'll drive them down to Bowling Green. And we have a rental car waiting down there, and they'll head back to Birmingham tomorrow to get back to work and back to school. And, of course, I'll be here through Wednesday night. But good to be with you. Pleasure to be back with you. And as always, your building and the grounds are beautiful and well-kept, and I appreciate your stewardship relative to that matter. Let me speak to you this morning under the title of Proper Attitudes for Bible Study. Proper Attitudes for Bible study. Let me begin by way of introduction like this. We all study the Bible. Each and every one of us study the Bible. But that does not mean that we all study the Bible in the same way. Or Scott, it does not mean that we all study the Bible to the same degree, but we do all study the Bible. And it certainly does not mean that we all, or any of us for that matter, bring the right attitude into our study of God's Word, whether publicly or privately. So we want to focus on attitudes, proper attitudes that are important when we study God's Word, again, either publicly or privately. This is a public congregational study of God's Word, but daily, hopefully, all of us are involved in a private, individual, maybe even a family study of God's Word. And if we don't bring the right attitude into that study of God's Word, we can find ourselves in trouble real quick. Let me share with you in the time that we have remaining five proper attitudes that we ought to bring into our study of God's Word. Again, for the third time, we want to bring these attitudes, proper attitudes, into a study of God's Word, whether it be publicly as this morning, or privately if you study your Bible a little bit this afternoon, or tomorrow, or whatever your schedule might be. Make a mental note of these, or a physical note, whatever notations are good for you. Jot these down and think about them. Reflect upon them as you go through your week and see if they might benefit you in some way or another as we go through life. Point number one this morning, under the title of Proper Attitudes for Bible Study. You should study the Word of God prayerfully. That's our first point and our first attitude. You should study the Word of God prayerfully. Go with me, if you care to, over to Psalm 119, the longest of the 150 Psalms. Psalm 119, and in a moment we'll look at verse 18. Psalm 119, verse 18. There David, the sweet singer of Israel, said long ago, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Psalm 119, verse 18. Listen to it one more time. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." I believe that's a prayer. I believe that's a prayer from David, King David, Shepherd David, Killer of Lions and Bears David. That David, moved by the Spirit of God, offers this beautiful sentiment that I believe in my judgment should be viewed as a prayer. Listen to it for a third and final time. Psalm 119, verse 18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Think about what David is praying for, what he's asking God to do? Open mine eyes. Open my eyes, dear God in heaven. Why? That I may behold wondrous, beautiful, wonderful things out of thy law. That ought to be our prayer today. We ought to approach every study of God's Word prayerfully. Think about it this way. We begin our day with a prayer. Probably all of us do. Start our day, begin our day with a prayer. We begin our meals with a prayer. Whether we're out at a restaurant or in our home, my family, like your family, we begin our meals with a prayer. We oftentimes begin a journey with a prayer, praying that, to God that we'll be safe, or if we have family members with us, praying to the Father in the name of His Son, that our family members or friends who are traveling will be safe in their journey, they can arrive at their destination safely, and that we might see them again. We begin so many things with prayer. Why not begin our study of God's Word, privately or publicly? Begin it with a prayer. Wayne began our study with a prayer a moment ago, one that we could all say amen to, whether out loud or within ourselves. That's the proper thing to do. That manifests a proper attitude on our part. Wayne led us in the prayer, but it was our prayer. We were all praying together. Wayne was leading us in that. And again, we could say amen publicly or within ourselves. It is so. Let it be so. Relative to the words that Brother Wayne directed us in. Words to the Father in the name of the Son. So, why not do that privately as well? Here's the problem. When we desire Scott to ponder something, that's not a word we use a whole lot anymore, but I like the word ponder. A word that my grandfather used to use quite a bit. That's deep thinking, Clayton, more than just regular thinking. It's a deeper level of thinking. When we need to ponder this or that, sometimes our mind tends to wander. Sometimes it happens even when we're in the building, when we're engaged in worship. We get seated, let's just be honest. We get seated in a comfortable facility like we have right here. The pews are padded, and again, I love these curved pews. Wonderful curved pews. Don't see those very often. The temperature is very comfortable. We've got good lighting. Everything's like it ought to be. But what happens, Wayne? We get seated. We get comfortable. Our eyes begin to blink a little more rapidly. They close for longer periods. Maybe if you're like me, your head begins to nod or bob. I think that's what my mom used to call it, the bobbing head. Sometimes that got a little slap or a click on an ear on a cold winter day. That'll get your attention in a church building when mom flicks your ear and wants you to perk up and listen to the sermon. But in all honesty, sometimes when we need to ponder this or that, even in a Bible class, our minds begin to wander. If we're not drifting off to sleep, our minds are wandering over here, over there. Why not begin our public and private studies of God's Word, Chris? Begin them with a prayer. That is a proper attitude for the study of God's Word. You and I, we should study prayerfully. Point number two. Proper attitudes for Bible study. Number two, attitude number two, point number two, you should study reverently. You should study reverently. I met a young couple right here visiting from Indiana. What now, what, where in Indiana? Pretty close to Portland? South of Portland, okay. My wife was born in Muncie. And has family still in Muncie and in Indianapolis and in Portland. And well, I've been up there. I preached at the Southside Church of Christ in Portland, Indiana. But that's beautiful country, good farming country in the Portland area. But studying reverently, I mentioned our young couple visiting here from Indiana because we're all at some time in our lives involved in study. We're all involved in study. High school, college, Clayton's granddaughter, what's the granddaughter's name? Shannon. Is she in school? Just started, okay. You know, even when they're in kindergarten. You know, kids have got to study. Kindergarten all the way up, postgraduate work, whatever. But even after we get out of school, brethren and friends, our jobs, Wayne, require study. My only brother, is an optometrist in our old hometown of Pocahontas, Arkansas. And he has to keep up his certification to be an optometrist. Every year he has to go to Little Rock, Arkansas, or Memphis, Tennessee, or maybe drive up to St. Louis, and he has to spend the better part of a week in classes and instruction on this and that, and keep up his certification as an optometrist. So we know about study. All of us do. Connor, our youngest, again, is a junior in high school. She has a lot of study. I send a girl to school 8 hours a day. She comes home and has got four hours of homework every night. I mean, I think, what's going on? They can't get the job done at school, Scott, so they got to send them home, and we got to finish their work. Where are my tax dollars going? All right, enough of that. My goodness alive. But we all have to study. As important as that study is, a study of God's Word demands more of us. And there's an attitude we ought to bring into the study of God's Word that is greater and more important than any other attitude relative to any other study that we engage in, no matter how important we think it is at the time. Brother friends, again, point number two, attitude number two, you should study the Word of God reverently. When we approach the Word of God, it's not like approaching a geometry class. It's not like approaching any American history class, as important as those are, and they are in their context. The Bible, the Word of God, is the most important document. It is from above, delivered from heaven. And we are to approach it, reading it, the study of it, reverently. This is God's Word. Go with me back again to Psalm 119. Now, the latter part of verse 161. Psalm 119, verse 161. And here's what David said again. My heart standeth in awe of thy word, closing part. Psalm 119, verse 161. My heart, David said, standeth in awe of thy word. That's reverence, brethren and friends. That's reverence. When you read God's word daily, when you study it daily, approach it with a reverence unlike the approach you make to any other book, any other volume, any other journal, any other magazine, any other document, any other anything. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. And I'm in awe of that statement. How important it is. When we open God's word, God is speaking to us. We can speak to God as we did a moment ago by means of the prayer that Brother Wayne led us in. The only way that we have to speak to our God, and we want to do so daily, multiple times a day, if we can. But God speaks to us in only one way, and that is through His Word. He's not going to lie on our shoulders and whisper in our ears, but He does speak to us through His Word. I want to hear what God has to say to me. And so I approach His Word, the study of it, the reading of it, in a reverential way, again, different. More reverence bestowed upon that than I would deliver to any other reading or study that I might involve myself in. Go with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. A verse we all know, a New Testament equivalent, if you will. Again, point number two, attitude number two, proper attitudes for the study of God's Word. You should study God's Word reverently. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says in your Bible and in mine, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Some translations have handling aright the word of truth. Some say correctly handling the word of truth, depending upon the English translation you're using. Look at it one more time, and let's slow down with it. Study, 2 Timothy 2.15. Your translation may say, give diligence. Study to show, thyself approved unto God. A workman, look at that language. That's what we are, religiously. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing, handling aright, correctly handling the Word of God, the Word of Truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. If you view yourself as a good worker in the temporal sense, relative to your job, even if you're retired from that job, you viewed yourself as a good worker. You gave an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. Oughtn't we to bring that same coat and that same attitude into Christianity, into the spiritual realm? We ought to be viewed by God, religiously, spiritually, as good workers. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Here's our duty. Here's our responsibility. We are to handle correctly, rightly divide the word of truth. However that's translated in the English Bible you have before you, it's from one Greek word. The Greek word is orthotomeo. It literally means to cut straight. We are to cut straight the word of truth. We don't cut to the left. We don't cut to the right. We just cut straight. We teach children when they're young. Maybe Shannon, is that right? Shannon's age. When they're learning to color and when they're learning to, with the little beginning scissors. You know, they cut all over the place, Chris, and they color all over the place. And maybe we preserve some of those documents, stuff them away somewhere. We want to show them to maybe write a date on them and put their name on it. Maybe have them try to write their name on it. We want to hang on to that. It's special. We've got that stuff from Hallie McKenna and Connor. I've got religious volumes in my library weighing stuff with little quotations that they, statements they made years ago, and drawings they made, and little notes they sent to me or to Shana, and they're special to us, and I stuff them in a volume I know that I'll come back to, and I'll be able to read that down the road, and it means something to me. So we teach children to color within the lines, and cut right on or just over that line. But before, they don't know that, and they're all over the page and all over the place. Religiously, we can't cut to the left. We can't loose where God has bound. And we can't cut to the right. We have no permission to bind where God has loosed. Our job is to cut straight. And that involves a reverence for God and His Word that not everyone agrees with, that not everyone participates in. So a second attitude, proper attitude for the study of God's Word is, you and I should study God's Word reverently at every opportunity, not just publicly as we are right now, but privately bring reverence in the study, the study of God's Word. Point number three. Wait, what time do I need to shut it down? It's about 10:27. About a quarter till? Okay, good deal. That'll give us plenty of time. Another 17, 18 minutes there. Good deal. Number three. Attitude number three. Point number three. You should study God's Word eagerly. Go with me to Matthew chapter 5. You should study God's Word prayerfully, number one. Reverently, number two. Eagerly, point number three. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6. Here's what our Lord said. One of those Beatitudes in the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And the opening part of chapter 5, the Beatitudes that we're so familiar with. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, where our Lord said, and Matthew recorded in the long ago, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's an eagerness there, is there not? Really just implicit to the passage. An eagerness. Blessed are they which do what? Hunger and thirst after righteousness. We hunger and thirst, do we not? Physically, in this temporal existence. We're going to have a nice picnic. I'm looking forward to that, Clayton, a little bit from now. Out where we're staying in the motel out at Mammoth Cave. And so we'll all change our clothes if we need to. I can guarantee I'm going to change my clothes. When you see me at mealtime, I'm going to have a pair of blue jeans on and an old brown long sleeve shirt. I'm not going to wear my dress clothes out there. So we'll look forward to that. I don't mind telling you, I had a little honey bun for breakfast. We slept in just a little bit. Yesterday was a long day, and so we slept in a little bit this morning, and We swung by a service station with an IGA store attached to it on the way up here, up 65, and I grabbed some Hostess products and grabbed a couple of honey buns. I like a good honey bun every now and then. And I scarfed down that honey bun this morning, but by the time we eat, Scott, I'm going to be hungry and thirsty. I'm going to be ready to eat, going to be ready to drink. If you happen to have some Diet Mountain Dew, I'll gladly take that from you. I like a good Diet Mountain Dew and a good honey bun. But, you know, we get hungry and thirsty. And when we miss a meal, we eagerly anticipate our next meal. It's built into us. We're human beings. We have metabolisms that must be maintained. And my metabolism likes good meat. And Santa says, you got a whole brown meal here. I like a good brown meal. Throw a little green in every now and then, but I can eat brown all day long. I like a good brown meal. Brown potatoes, brown meat. So whatever your likes or dislikes are, all of us are the same in this regard. We eagerly await our next meal. Now let's extrapolate that principle into the spiritual realm. When we miss a meal of God's Word, when the circumstances are such, maybe it's ill health, maybe we're sick, maybe it's travel, maybe it's the death of someone, so we're taken out of our regular, normal routine. So our Bible reading is off. Our Bible study is off. We're not in our normal, daily routine or activities. Let me ask you this, not asking for your audible response, but think within yourself. When that is the case, when you miss some meals from God's Word, do you eagerly await, do you eagerly anticipate getting back into God's Word? I want to suggest to you this morning that a third proper attitude for the study of God's Word is eagerness. You and I should study God's Word prayerfully, number one, reverently, number two, and eagerly, number three. Blessed, happy, is the way we would translate that now. The Greek term makarios, blessed, happy, are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter said, watch it now, and this again is a passage that pertains directly to our passage from Matthew chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, get it now, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. A baby desires milk to be fed. We as adults desire food to nourish our bodies and to satisfy our hunger and our thirst. We ought to desire the Word of God like newborn babes. Whether we're babes in Christ or we're mature in Christ, there ought to be an eagerness and a desire there as we approach the study of God's Word. Point number four. 5 points this morning, 5 attitudes this morning under the title of Proper Attitudes for the Study of God's Word. Proper Attitudes for Bible Study. Number one, study it prayerfully. Number two, study it reverently. Number three, study it eagerly. Number four, study it purposely. Study it purposely. There needs to be a purpose, an order, a design to our study of God's Word. Clayton, you're a hay farmer, and I suspect there's some order to your approach to a field, 40 acres here, whatever you're cutting hay off of. I doubt that you and Chris go out there and just, you know, fire up a mower and then start in the middle, and you and Chris decide you're going to cut some designs in here. And just, hey, let's see what we could do here. Let's just tear up this 80-acre patch of ground. Let's cut some designs. Maybe we could write "Love You" right out here in the field. That'd be a good way, Chris, for Dad to be sewn over to a rubber room in a straitjacket and for you to take over the place. Well, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. Order, all kidding aside, and obviously I'm kidding, but they wouldn't do that. You and I wouldn't do that. You cut your lawn by like a child would first time on a riding lawnmower and just start going around and around like it's a go-kart? No. We wouldn't approach anything like that. I have a friend back in Arkansas, wonderful guy, faithful Christian, sound in the faith. But when he's called upon to read Scripture, at the congregation where he goes, they don't assign a Scripture reading. Each man just chooses a Scripture. I don't know that that's the way I would approach it, Wayne, but that's what they do. Each man gets to choose his Scripture. This friend of mine, who I know very well, he just flops open his Bible, and where it opens to, that's what he reads from. He's told me that. I've seen him do it. I said, that is idiotic. I mean, that is crazy. You can say that to a friend, you know. I just don't understand that. He just flops open his Bible, and where it opens to, Scott, that's where he reads. I said, well, where do you determine where you're going to begin and where you're going to end? Wherever my eye hits. Yeah. That, you're exactly right. Exactly right. Shona's dad has a saying for that. He said, I've heard some preachers that were so unprepared, you'd think they just scratched out their sermon on a napkin right before they walked up to the pulpit. That's right. There's no purpose, no order, no design. It's random. It's chaotic. I don't care for that. I like an ordered, an ordered life. I'm not into the random. There's enough of that that happens that we can't control. There's a certain randomness or a chaotic nature to things that we have no control over. These things walk up and slap us in the face, and we have to deal with it, metaphorically speaking. Things happen that we have absolutely no control over. But what I do have control over, I want to control. I want there to be purpose. When we approach God's Word to read and study this volume, this divine, this God-breathed volume, there needs to be purpose. You should study God's Word purposely. Now let's consider some passages relative to that. And these will be passages that pertain directly to, again, the purpose that we're concerned with. Let's think about Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 says in your Bible, and in mine. For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. Ezra did what? He prepared his heart. There's purpose. There's order. There's design. To seek the law of the Lord, number one. To do the law of the Lord, number two, Ezra 7:10. And to teach the law of the Lord. To teach his statutes and judgments, Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. Circle that verse, underline that verse, highlight that verse, however you mark up your Bible. That is a wonderful verse, and what we see there is purpose on the part of Ezra, brethren and friends. He didn't just let his Bible fall open and start studying right there. Again, there's a purpose to his approach to the Word of God. He personally and individually sought the law of the Lord. And then he did kill the law of the Lord. And finally, after he'd done that, and only after he'd done that, did he teach the law of the Lord. We're not qualified, brethren and friend, to teach the law of the Lord, to teach God's statutes and judgments until we've sought them personally, until we've done them. We've got to practice what we preach. We've got to seek it, we've got to do it, and then we've got to teach it. And that is purpose, if there ever was purpose, brethren and friends. Think with me to Isaiah 34 and verse 16. In Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16, here's what God through the great prophet Isaiah said long ago. Seek ye, just part of the verse, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Seek ye out, Isaiah 34:16, out of the book of the Lord and read. There's purpose. How should you study the Word of God? You ought to study it prayerfully, number one. Reverently, number two. You ought to study it eagerly, number three. And you ought to study it purposely, number four. Great attitudes relative to the study of God's Word. Think with me to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. Revelation chapter 1 And verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1 and verse 3. Look at the verbal forms there. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. Read, hear, keep God's word. The duty, the imperatives, the commands, the directives that we have, and what they indicate to each and every one of us is purpose on our part as we approach a study of God's word. Point number 5, attitude number 5. And finally this morning, we've got about 5 minutes for our fifth and final point. How should you study God's word? What attitude should you bring into the study of God's word? Let me run through it one more time. We'll conclude with number 5. We'll put an amen to it, and the class period will be yours. You should study God's word prayerfully, number 1. You should study God's word reverently, number 2. You should study God's word eagerly, number 3. You should study God's word purposely, number 4. And number 5, you should study God's word frequently. You should study God's word frequently. Go with me to Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, if you care to turn with me. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Here the psalmist said in the long ago, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. Look at verse 2 again. His delight is what? In the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. That's frequently, brother and friends. When was the last time that you studied God's word? Not just reading. You can read God's word and not study it. Now, you can't study God's word without first reading it. But you can read it and never study it. So when was the last time that you did more than read God's word? You studied God's word. You involved yourself in a deeper reflection upon the text of Scripture. You did a little word study. You looked at the surrounding verses. You read deeper into a commentary, helping yourself, aiding yourself in better understanding this particular passage from the Word of God. When was the last time that you did that? How frequently do you study God's Word? Do you study God's Word every day of the week? And if you and I have time to read a daily newspaper, or maybe it's a daily news blog, you know, newspapers, even the Birmingham Press, Wayne, it's down to 3 days a week. Used to be a daily, 7 days a week. At one time they had multiple papers every day. 3 days a week is it. Because the print press is diminishing, is it not? In this technological age in which we live, and with social media rampant, and I've got a smartphone. It's kind of a cheap one, Clayton, a Pantech Pocket. Cost me $1.08. Of course, I'd have to pay for the use of the monthly fee or whatever, but Shane and the girls, all 3 girls, have iPhones, and we enjoy those. I've got a lot of books online, Ken. I've got some novels. I'm in the middle of a good Louis L'Amour Western right now on my Kindle app on my smartphone. Cherokee Trail. Oh, that's good. If you want to download that, $5.99, and it's a good read, good clean read, a good quick read. But, you know, with all of the social media that's going on today, print's going down. So maybe you get your news off a blog, maybe off of some website. With all this internet access, nothing wrong with that whatsoever. This is wholesome. There's nothing wrong with it. So if we can do that every day, surely we can study God's Word every day. Quickly, our bell is rung, I believe. Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Here's what David said in the long ago. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Final verse. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. We're talking about point number five. We're talking about proper attitudes for Bible study. And the last one is you should study the Word of God frequently. In Acts 17 and verse 11, here's what Luke recorded. He said, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Talk about the Bereans, as you well know. These, what? Were more noble than those in Thessalonica. In that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. Let me run through it final time. How should you and I study God's Word? What attitude should we bring into the study of God's Word? You should study God's Word prayerfully, reverently, eagerly, brethren and friends, purposely, and frequently. I strongly believe that if you and I will do that, we'll have the right attitude whenever we study God's Word, publicly or privately. And our study of God's Word will be more meaningful than ever it has before. Good to be with you. We look forward to the assembly of exhortation just a little bit from now.